In case you guys are wondering, my hand always shakes like a 90-year-old man. It's just natural. Today is about the angel candle and love. We're going to touch base on some of the same things that, the same verses that Brantley spoke about last week. Get the technology to work here. The Bible says that we're to love one another. And that sounds terribly simple, but we often fall short of that. A man once said that, I love mankind, it's people I can't stand. If you'll turn with me to Luke 2, 8:14, if you have the Bible. We all know that God loves us. We have our fallbacks. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You are hammered over and over and over again with God's love. The question is, within the context of Luke 2, 8:14, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth among those with whom he is pleased. Now to touch quickly on the nature of an angel. We're not talking about simple winged entities. You know, they're not cherubs. These are not cutesy little idealistic concepts. These made men fall on their face and cry out when they said, fear not, nearly every time they walked into a room. Mostly, I'm sure, because there's something to be afraid of. There's a little something to be concerned about. The angel of the Lord went out and struck 185,000 in the camp of the Assyrians. In Isaiah 37:36, and the men rose early in the morning, behold, all these men were dead. There was two angels that brought judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. Nebuchadnezzar's pride got in the way. And it was an angel which declared his kingship was going to come down like a tree. It was going to be cut. These men, spirits, and dreams came to the people in a way that was terrifying. These were not cutesy little concepts. In our times of trouble, they reached out a helping hand. They were there for the men when they needed them most. They interacted in the lives of people in ways which bettered their purpose, bettered their nature, and allowed survivability. Sometimes when the people were down to the last believer, they were in the den with Daniel and shut the mouths of lions. In Acts 12, they opened prison doors. They execute divine judgment. They are the manifestation of God's will in a very present and real sense. Messengers of the King. This messenger idea is actually one of the main concepts that works its way through the Bible. Angelos, the Greek word, is often loosely translated as messenger. Luke 1, 8-20, the angel Gabriel announced to Zacharias that he would father a son, John, who would be the forerunner of the Messiah. Luke 1:26-38. Gabriel visits Mary to tell her she would give birth to the Messiah. 31-33. Mary, said the angel Gabriel, you will have a son, and behold, he will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. and in his kingdom will have no end. Matthew 1:20-25. It was an angel that told Joseph in a dream to take Mary as his wife because the child she carried was conceived of the Holy Spirit. There is quite possibly, in my mind, not one single event in the entirety of the Bible that is more miraculous than Joseph saying, in that time, I'm not going to divorce this woman, and I'm going to be a father to this unknown son, and I'm going to take a Spirit's word for it. So it has to be something pretty miraculous. This is not something that you can turn your back on because it's in your face. It's, again, the divine will of God over and over and over. So going back to Luke 2:8-14, Jesus' birth was announced to a group of shepherds just out of Bethlehem. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. An angelic host proclaimed the birth of the Savior Messiah Christ the Lord. And angels have always been the messengers of God. On that first Christmas day they came to declare there's a new king in town whose rule will never end. His name, Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under earth, again, every knee will bow. So the powers of the angels are obvious, as we know of the love of God. John 3:16 again declares it. It's declared in several other places. But how do you know it from Luke 2:8-14? If the angel is sitting there, and he's standing before the shepherds, how do you know that the angel came and said, the seminal event is going to happen in front of the whole world, and it's going to move everyone's heart. You will all be changed. So there's three things of note. In that passage it says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy. It's impossible for me because I like the arts, but the good news portion of that comes from the term Godspell, or Godspeed. And the old English version of that comes from a word that means good story. So an angel comes to you and says, I have a good story for you. So when they say the Gospel of Mark, Luke, and John, that's just their story. So they wave the Bible in front of you and they thump it. That's everyone's story. That's the entire good news, the entire story for all of the people, from the beginning of the history to the end of history to the last day. Godspell has been translated roughly into the good story, and in the Germanic languages, it became God's story. The spell portion of that comes from older Gaelic terms that, once written down, had a sense of power and judgment. So you go into the Bible and read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And that word is Logos. Roughly, that translates into a Greek concept that it's a word, but it's also an idea and a principle. So in the beginning, they're trying to get the idea that God loves you. He used a particular message to a particular people. He then turned around and to a different people in a different time, in a different age, used a different message. He delivers the same message over and over and over again. God loves you. He's here for you. And the principle, the idea continues throughout. Number two, it will be for all of the people. The love is there. It's there from the beginning to the end. So who is it for? Everybody. I mean, that's pretty cut and dry. Number three, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. That's not the last time you hear this. It's not the first time you hear it. The purpose here is to understand that you have a responsibility to shoulder here, a burden. You have a responsibility to show your fellow man not just love, but the love that you can have within the community under Christ, that you can get closer to God, that you can get closer to Jesus. Behold, Daniel 9-4, and I prayed to the Lord God and made confessions and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Daniel 9-13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. The love keeps coming down from God, and it's our responsibility to not just show it amongst ourselves, but to continue taking it to the people. There's a great many things standing in our way today. Bottom line is, it has become far too easy for us to slip the bounds of what we are called to do. We are asked in this season to love one another. Furthermore, we are asked to go and push the information to other people, to be that image with people outside the faith. It's difficult to stand in front of people and say those words without being honest. You know, obviously, I've stood in front of people and not been the person I should have been. So you're not held to a standard that's impossible. I'm just telling you, you are held to a standard. You must take the task on. The responsibility of the individual to know Jesus, live under his mandate by one another, cannot be denied. The fourth candle reminds us that the messengers of God, who in this case bring good news, the news is there, and a new king in town is taking over, and the message of the angels to anyone who will listen. The kingdom is both a present and future reality. He is king and he will always be king. And as Christians, we live in this kingdom. But we are servants and citizens of the next. Never forget that. Quick idea in closing. I just want to push the idea that mankind's aspirations are somewhat greater than the reality. It's dirty, and it's not always pleasant. We're surrounded by pain and suffering, the poor, the dirty little realities that people struggle with every day are oftentimes things that get in the way. Personal guilt and bias, fear, these are the things that, for all of us, these are the things that get in the way. These are the things that make it so that we're not possible, we're not worthy, we can't stand up, we're not enough. And I'm here to tell you it's not true. You are enough. You can do it. You can love another. You can be that strength. I want to close with a quote from C.S. Lewis. I will read it. I could probably nearly verbatim. It's a lot of pressure up there. It's really hot. I don't know. C.S. Lewis says, to love is to be vulnerable. Love anything. Your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. Instead, it will become unbreakable, impenetrable, irredeemable. Bow your heads, please. Dear God, help us remember that this season is not about us. It's not about the gifts. It's not about what we can do. It's about how we can serve. The ways in which we can love one another, the ways in which we can be dear God, help us remember that we are not the reason for the season, that you are there and were there and will always be there. In closing, please be with us through this season. And in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, brother.